ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us on your Thursday evening, and I can assure you that anyone who wishes to speak in regard to any particular application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time. For those of you who are not frequent attenders here at Planning and Zoning, I would like to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you regarding the way that we conduct our meetings and the way that we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. As stated, this is the time and the place for the scheduled public hearings of the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings will be conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998 and subsequently amended. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meetings to view the commission's deliberations and voting on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behaviors permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, we ask that you take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments that's been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. The chairman will, after the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set a reasonable time limit on public comment or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of both supporters and opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir. We thank you. Our first public hearing is Subdivision 2007-42, Fenwick Commons, LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 13.35 acres into 27 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Route 54 and Road 394. The gentleman, I would just ask Mr. Abbott to summarize any comments he's received on this application from the applicant or the tech or individual.
Mr. Chairman, this application was filed December 18th of 2007. The Technical Advisory Committee review of February 28th of 2008 is part of the record. On July 10th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet which contains a revised preliminary plan that addressed the Technical Advisory Committee comments. It also contained an executive summary, county code compliance, a colored rendered site plan, a site data table, and preliminary cluster subdivision plan, a standard lot option plan, an aerial photograph overlay, a copy of the zoning map, copies of the technical advisory committee report, a sanitary sewer district map, a letter to Mr. Robertson regarding the homeowners association requirements and proposed conditions. They'll all be made a part of the record.
All right, sir, we thank you. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Tim Willard with Fuqua and Yuri, representing the applicant. The applicant is Fenwick Commons, LLC. The principal is Joel Farr. He's being represented here tonight by Virgil Bullis. Ken Christianberry is also the engineer. This is a relatively modest cluster subdivision carrying 27 lots, which is two lots per acre, with approximately 40% open space, which we think is superior to what would be a by right subdivision. It's an environmentally sensitive developing district. I think what's significant about the environmentally sensitive developing district is specifically the language says the option should exist to go up to 4 units per acre. This is 2. Smaller lots and flexibility in the dimensional standards should be allowed if the developer uses cluster option that results in a permanent preservation of substantial percentage of tracts. What you see as far as the forested buffer there is what exists now, so none of it would be destroyed and in fact would all be preserved. Also, there's a cemetery on the property which would be preserved, and an easement provided for access to anybody that wanted to visit it. I'm going to go through the book, or I'm going to reference it in reference to the code compliance. That's in tab 1. They're basically, other than the comp plan, which actually calls for flexibility in cluster developments, this is AR1, so it's a cluster development under the 75 square foot option where the central sewer is proposed. This is in the West Sewer Planning District, and sewer is available if they go through the annexation process. Specifically, the first section that needs to be complied with is 115.25E, and that's the section of your comp plan that calls for the code, which calls for the design elements that for cluster developments. We submit to you that we've met that with this plan because there's significant open space, not 30% that's required, but closer to 40%. The scenic character has been preserved by maintaining existing woods and providing forested buffers. Natural features, the forest, wetland won't be disturbed. The only wetland, by the way, is across the street, the ditch, and that won't be disturbed. And the open space is linked throughout the development. But there's a gazebo out front. There's open space around the stormwater. There's a picnic table to be provided along the walking trail in the back of the forested area. Also, the design standard calls for a 30-foot buffer. The entire property will be buffered by a 30-foot forested buffer. Where it doesn't appear, it'll be planted on either side, even though on the roadside it's not agriculture. Since your design calls for that, we'll have that. This gap, too, this is an error. That'll be filled with forested buffer as well, all the way to the end. And in the rear of the property, there's already considerable forest that exists. As to paragraph 4 of 115.25A, the proposed landscape buffer shall meet the requirements specified. All lots shall access the subdivision roads. The only access will be on Sand Cove Road, not on 54, and you can see that. That will obviously have to comply with LDOT standards. Wetlands will not be disturbed, and the project shall be served by the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. As to 115.25F, the application was in order. That's paragraph 1. The developer has committed to, at least we wrote Mr. Robertson, our standard commitment letter for all the perpetual maintenance of the open space. A homeowners association will be formed, will be mandatory, fees will be assessed, and the open space preservation will include the forested buffer as well as the cemetery and any other the stormwater facility. We believe this is a superior project. If you look at tab 4 of the booklet, you'll see what would be an AR1 standard, two lots per acre, which doesn't include, it would include approximately 14% open space, doesn't preserve the forested land, and it would be, according to statute, maybe accurate, but wouldn't have the preservation of the forest area. So that's what your cluster was intended to do, and that's what we believe we've designed here. Also, it has recreational area for a small subdivision with at least a gazebo by the water feature and also a picnic area by the cemetery. Section 99C, we believe, has been complied with, and I'll touch on that rather quickly, but I think it's important to go through. The density is 2 units per acre, and we've proposed conditions, which I'll get to in a moment. We believe the project integrates well with the area, although there's farmland around there. There are also other subdivisions. Bayview is to the south, Americana. Bayside, although not fully developed, is to the east, southeast. I think on tab, I should have a tax map on tab. Well, you have the aerial, which is on the ground here. site goes down here, Fenwick.
Excuse me, Mr. Willard, just for a second, I do beg your pardon, and everyone else's as well. I forgot my manners. If there's anyone here that has a particular interest in this application, please feel free to get up and come closer to look at the exhibits. You can go right up to the easel if you want to. Just ask that you do it quietly, but you are more than welcome to come up and take a closer look at what's here. And I apologize for not asking sooner. Go ahead, Mr. Willard.
I don't know if you can see it, Mr. Chairman, but the identical board is facing out. But just to run through the 99.9C.
It's facing out, but you need a pair of binoculars.
No, I know.
Or I would. Speaking for myself. Anyway, go ahead.
I've recently gone to Happy Harry's. So. They said it would happen when you're 40-something, but I'm trying to resist.
I buy them six at a time, Mr. Willard.
But anyway, there's a fair amount of residential, even more dense in the area, although there is some farmland as far as integrating into the area. I think the benefit of a cluster development is we surround it, you know, by a 30-foot buffer. And I think I may have already mentioned that along here you're going to have an extra 15 feet easy to LDOT provider for a bike trail or whatever. So you have a total of 45, including the other buffer. Wetlands would not be disturbed. We'll save the trees and the cemetery. As I said, again, we have close to 40% open space, which is 5.37 acres, as opposed to, if it was a straight subdivision, more like 14, and we wouldn't be required to save the trees. The buffers also would be required, however. This will be served by Artesian. It's in the West Fenwick planning area for sewer, and I'm going to talk more about that. Stormwater will be designed by the best management practices. The DelDOT, obviously, you would have to approve the entrance. Schools would be, it's Indian River. As to the site itself, I've already mentioned that it's 13.25 acres. You have a much better, if you can't see from that distance, in tab 2 is the complete site. It shows 1.4 acres of forest. Excuse me one second. Well, the total, I don't need to give you a breakdown. The total of the site plan for open space is approximately 5 acres, a little over 5 acres. It also has sidewalks where the roads are. It has a walking trail. You'll see the easement to the cemetery in tab 2. And the access will be provided at the end of Fenwick Ridge. And you can see at the end of that cul-de-sac in the forest area. I've already made reference to the less superior plan or the inferior plan, and that, for the record, is in tab 4. Tab 5 and 6 gives you what's surrounding the area, and if you actually look at the tax map, you can see the large orange swaths of a median residential or Americana Bayside, which is mixed use with various forms of density. I think it is interesting just to back up and go to the cluster development statute. Is one of the requirements is that it be in an environmentally sensitive development district, among other districts. But they specifically recognize that clusters belong in there. And if you look at the language, it says we want some flexibility there. As far as the TAC comments, perhaps most important is the sewer district. Is the project in a proposed or current county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district? And the engineer's office has responded yes. They said it's in conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study of 2005. And then in the comment 10, they say the proposed project in the planning areas of Fenwick, it's not contiguous. So what would happen, there are three properties between that and where the sewer actually goes. And the developer is very well aware of this, and we've even proposed it as a condition, that this development, if preliminary is approved, must be annexed. In other words, the developer has to spend the money on the concept, submit it to council, and then if it's approved by engineering, and get approval to annex in. And what the comment in paragraph 10 does is acknowledges that and also indicates, you know, that a developer will be responsible for some costs. Tab 8 actually shows you the West Fenwick planning area. Tab 9 is our commitment to the Homeowners Association. And tab 10 are the proposed conditions, which I've alluded to here. This project, by way of background, and I can fully expect before you have any questions that Ellen might have some comments too, because this was before the commission in 2004. And it was recommended, I don't know if y'all remember it, but it was recommended for denial. And the reason was it was distinguishable, I think, for two very important reasons. Back then it was for a change of zone. It was for MR. And the comments from the county as far as sewer was concerned, and I have them with me, and I'm be happy to submit them, although they're part of the public record. This is the 2004 comments from county. And when they were asked whether this is in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, the response was no. So since that time, I have a little more to add. They've completed another study. But then they said the change of zone is within the Fenwick planning area, but they don't intend to schedule to provide this in the area. There was another one right before that was void from Chris Callio the day before, but it said capacity is available, and the only thing changed there is they got rid of that paragraph. Since that time, the county has authorized what's called the Sussex County Engineering Department Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District for State Route 54, and that was November 2006 that was accepted. And likewise, although this is part of the public record, I'd be happy to submit it if you want to peruse it tonight. And the scope of that was to determine, you know, how services will be provided to the west. And basically, the conclusion of it was after improvements of PS 31 and PS 30, actually, that's on a different page, are made and the parallel force main is installed. Those are the ones along 54. There should be no need to maintain development restrictions in the planning area. So at least I wanted to know, because I thought the commission might want to know, what's the status of that? Clearly, now they're recognizing this is in an area, or at least its engineering has told us, that's a maintained sewer district. And the comment has changed to recognize that. Just yesterday, Brad Hawks with the engineering department wrote me this email. PS 31, that's the pump station along 54, the improvements are complete. County recently completed renovations to the pump station 31, including the installation of the new force main to obtain the desired increased capacity. And the other one on 54, pump station 30 improvements. It's under design. County is currently in the design phase, which should be completed January 2010. Funding is currently being sought, and construction is to begin spring 2010. So sewer is available. This project can only go forward if the central sewer is connected. The developer knows that, and it's in one of your recognized sewer districts. And I know. I think it's fair to say, because Ellen and I talked about this, and I know she disagrees with me, and she's probably going to stand up and say, "Well, you can't approve this because the sewer is not available." The cluster development says to apply for this, it has to be a central sewer. We're in a sewer district. We're committed to that. We're going to do that. So we're doing what the county wants. And, you know, if 3 years goes by and we can't work out the annexation process, it ain't going to happen. So I'm going to give those documents if it's all right with the chair. That is the... Sure. And I also have a finding of facts for council. That's all I have. I went kind of quickly, but...
Well, I think we appreciate that, certainly. In fact, I think at 8 o'clock, I believe Mr. Smith has a bongo lesson, so we're going to try to get him out of here if we possibly can. We'll see if you stand by for a second. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you. And we're going to start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Willard. I would like to either just... give back some of what you just said, or have you say it, stated again on the record that the applicant is aware and is telling the commission, has the information that you submitted to Mr. Robertson, that this is within the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District planning area that allows them to go forward with their application, that the property this particular property is not contiguous. Was that correct?
Absolutely. We understand that.
However, I think what you were saying is the applicant is willing to accept both the benefit and the burden by proceeding with this application, that if sewer is not available at the time of when the project would be shovel-ready, if it were looked favorably upon by the commission and everyone involved, that the development would not be able to go forward. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you filed this application in December of 2007.
Correct.
Which is leading you here in front of us some 19 months later.
And it's actually, and the reason I provided that later information is it's, there has been some significant progress as far as the commitment to fixing up those pump stations. And so it looks like we'll be on schedule with the county's plan, so. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. And thank everyone for letting me go back over that, because as you mentioned, that's probably a key crucial on this part of this proceeding. And I may ask Mr. Robertson, as he, after he reviews the documents, if he wants to, chime in.
If I may, I'm sorry, but the, and Mr. Robertson may be familiar with the planning report. It's a rather extensive three-folder document that's got all kinds of input and reports and flow charts. I went through the whole thing and I pulled out what I thought was relevant, which is when they said this is in a maintained sewer district and these what you have to do, and then it triggered, well, what's the status of some of the developments, and I thought it was encouraging that they've already spent the money and completed one pump station and the other one's going to bid very soon. So. But I just want to point out, I pulled a couple of sheets out of there that seem relevant from the summary.
That's true. It's not the whole planning study, but it would be three phone books worth.
It's a lot of technical information, yeah.
Thank you. You mentioned, and I'd just like to go over this back again for the record, in tab four, the standard lot subdivision, which is sometimes referred to as sort of a by right subdivision, which could occur on this property with on-site waste disposal. Is there anything, and noting that you said that plan would result in 14% open space, the plan that got up on the easel is 40% open space, I believe. Preservation of the existing woods. Is there anything else about the cluster subdivision that you feel is worth noting to the public or to the commission, what makes it superior?
Well, if you do it without any deference to the concept of cluster, you obviously have very small access to the cemetery. You got virtually no recreational area, and albeit this is passive, the gazebo and the picnic area. So the most important thing for a smaller subdivision this size is the lack of any common open space. And the lots are just much bigger with, in particular, I think, the forest area that's already existing, the standing trees, would not be saved and as they are in the cluster in whole as they exist now. They'd be completely destroyed.
And thank you for mentioning the graveyard. Typically, we ask that there be at least one parking space provided for any descendants of the interred families and all that. Could that be provided for on a final site plan if this were looked upon favorably?
Yeah. In fact, I think he's got two access twice. To do it, but on the cul-de-sac, that's got to be at least 15 feet there, about 30.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like a dedicated parking space.
Yeah, we certainly could make it designated.
Perhaps a question for Mr. Christianberry in the as far as the selection of the corner location for the stormwater management pond. And do you expect that to be a wet pond, or will that be?
With the visibility there, I'm sorry, Mr. Ken Christianberry, Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. With just the visibility of it, I think anything but a wet pond would probably be aesthetically a mistake. So even if the soils don't support it, we're going to have a liner put in and provide for a wet pond in that location.
And perhaps either our council or Mr. Willard, could answer this question. Some new statute about the homeowners association budgets that what's that? UMCOR?
What's it? DECOYA.
DECOYA. Yeah. Will you be preparing a budget for the homeowners expenses in accordance with the new new statute?
Yeah.
Does that affect this one?
It's my understanding that they delayed that requirement for 1 year.
Yeah, it's been delayed.
Senator Sokola's bill, and it's very complicated and extensive. And this may sound like I'm ducking you. If it applies to this lot, absolutely we'll comply with it. It's state law. But I think they bumped it for 1 year.
Yeah, but there's a threshold on the number of lots for condominiums, and there's different requirements for subdivisions. So, and it's evolving.
And as things go to final, to the extent our firm's involved, that's something we pay close attention to.
Mm-hmm.
They'll obviously have to comply with the statute that's in effect at the time that it starts getting developed and sold.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you. Mr. Christianberry, is there a provision for sidewalks throughout the development? I do see a walking trail, which I guess would be pervious surface, perhaps.
On one side of the road, there's to be sidewalks. You can see them there, there, and there. And then it would be a mulch trail connecting the two cul-de-sacs, but it would be sidewalks within the right-of-way.
Any thoughts or any problems with the sidewalks on both sides of the street?
Our thoughts are that it doesn't need to be that urban, that this provides a more rural character, and that's why we decided to put it on one side of the road. With these, even though we could have shown 7,500 square foot lots, these lots are a little larger than that. They're closer to 10,000 square foot for most of the lots.
Always curious how one side of the street can get considered urban and one be considered rural. But school bus shelter out on County Road 394.
We'll submit this to the school district and ask them if they would like one. My guess is if they want one, it'll either be right at the entrance or right at this intersection. Probably at the entrance, as small as this project is.
And I'll just ask again, is there anything about this plan that you're particularly wish to highlight?
Predominantly, the use of the cluster allows for the preservation of all the existing forest. I mean, the only ecological features, I mean, the wetlands is a ditch on the far side of the road that happens to be a parcel, a strip that belongs to this parcel, and that's easy enough to avoid. But the use of the cluster did allow all the existing forest on the property to be maintained in common open space so that it shouldn't be removed by anyone. Obviously, they may thin out underbrush, especially where they want to do a walking trail, but all the existing forest will be able to remain, and we feel like that's a real asset to the development.
And with obvious agricultural activities nearby, there'd be provision for the standard ag notices nearby in the
public.
Yeah. That's all I have now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
Mr. Smith asked all my questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burden?
Mr. Smith pretty much asked all mine, with the exception of, was there thought given to streetlights at all?
I think they proposed streetlights in there.
Yeah.
Proposed conditions.
We listed in the conditions.
The conditions, okay. Yeah. All right, that's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Would the developer object to placement of silt fencing around the perimeter of the forest so that the contractor doesn't come in and totally clear cut it?
Not at all. That'll be on my erosion control plan.
Thank you. That's
hopefully
all.
They'll honor that's it when they construct it.
No problem.
Yeah. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Just wanted, I guess, for the benefit of the commission, this was applied for, and there's been talk about it being a cluster subdivision. It's in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone, which doesn't have that, even though they've presented it, which is probably a good thing, it doesn't have that superiority element that's required technically if it's a subdivision in the environmentally sensitive development district, because you can go down to 7,500 square foot size lots in that with central sewer, county sewer. So just wanted to point that out. You know, they've kind of done it both ways. It's a cluster design in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone.
And that's the way it was advertised, too. We referenced the environmentally sensitive.
Yeah. No, I know. Right. But it doesn't technically have that additional superiority requirement that the cluster ordinance requires.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. All right, gentlemen, we appreciate your presentation. Would you please take a seat nearby? We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-42, Fenwick Commons, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to Fenwick Commons? Yes, ma'am. Step right up, please, and give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Hi, I'm Ellen McGee, and I live in Williamsville, directly across from this parcel. I have a couple issues.
Okay.
Number one, it is not in the Fenwick Island Sewer District. It is in a proposed annexation, but as I spoke to John Ashman and Mike Izzo, they have no timeline of when we are going to get sewer. The 2010 that Tim spoke about is about the Johnson's Corner Sewer District, which is going up Route 20. And that's why Pump Station 30 has been improved for, I believe it's Swan Estates. So those improvements don't have anything to do with coming up 54 from Route 20. I wouldn't be here tonight if they had a sewer concept plan, if they had their own sewer plant on the site, or that they had applied to be in the Fenwick Island Sewer District. They've done none of those. They've asked you to approve this project, but they're not in the sewer district, and they can't become contiguous to the sewer district. So that I have a problem with. I think we've got the cart before the horse, that this is not the way we should be doing business. The cemetery, the parking, that was one of my questions that's been answered. I guess I would ask that, wondered if they would clean that up. And the forest they speak about has remnants of an old house in it and trash. You know, it's not really a forest. It's a piece of scrub woods. So those were a couple things. But the biggest thing is the sewer, and I feel that if we approve this plan, then we are pushing sewer on everyone else. When the county has a plan, and unless a certain amount of people come and ask to be annexed in, we will move ahead in the county's timeline. They're not asking for any more zoning, any more units, so they could do under AR1. If they showed me a plan, a concept sewer plan, or had a sewer plant on this map, then that's fine. But they haven't done that. They're asking for approval of something when they haven't done that. What they should, step 1, 2, and 3. And I have land on 20, and we are getting sewer, and I pay attention to what the sewer's doing. We have land on 54, and we're not going anywhere. But we need to plan ahead, and we need to budget. You know, we can't have people coming in and asking for approval and then pushing sewer down everybody else's throats. I don't think that's a plan. So that's why I would ask you to deny this until they're in the sewer district or have applied.
Alrighty. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us this evening. You may wish to spend the rest of your Thursday evening here to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.